The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. Well, it's very evident that Adam and Eve put self before God and the Word of God. They put Satan before God as well. They knew God's word, what God had said was lawful and unlawful, but self wanted to experience a different way than obeying God. Satan himself knows God's word. He even quotes scripture, but he will not obey. And that's the mindset and the attitude that he has passed on to this world, the mind that we don't want to obey our Creator. What Satan offered appealed to self. It appealed to Adam and Eve. The forbidden fruit. Do what you want to do. The other way looked better to both of them. That's the mindset and attitude they began developing, and their posterity picked up on it very quickly. So self still wants what self wants. Now there was good in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we see many good traits in people, but disobeying God is not one of them. We have human love and concern, but we don't have God's love and concern. God's love and concern is something that we have to put on, and it's only given by the power of the Holy Spirit. God created Adam and Eve with human love and concern. That was a part of self. You and I were born with that human love and concern. That is a part of self, or a part of our makeup. Adam and Eve had love and concern for each other. Cain and Abel had love and concern for each other. They were brothers. But Cain became so selfish and greedy and jealous and lustful that he lost that human love and he killed his own brother. But none of us at birth, or in Adam and Eve's case at creation, had God's love and concern. It was only on a human level. But Adam and Eve had the opportunity to put God's love and concern on. And had they continued to obey God, had they reached out and partook of the tree of life instead of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would have begun the process of putting God's mind, attitude, His love, and His concern on. Yes, if they had continued to obey God, that's what they would have done. So would everyone else. If they would obey God and not let self get in their way and not let Satan throw them. Now I know self has a lot of help from Satan, and it seems we gladly accept it. He is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. You can read that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. He has the power to control what you see, what you hear, and what you think if you let him. Now, have we ever given a thought as to what we see, what we hear, and what we think actually comes from? The purpose for human life is to become like God. It takes something that we weren't born with to accomplish that purpose. It takes the Holy Spirit, which God has promised to anyone if they will obey Him. That is to put Him first before self and everything else. And that's what God requires. Put Him first before anything and everything else. Adam and Eve missed out on God's Holy Spirit, which is the power in you to put on Jesus Christ, to build His mind, attitude, and character, God's love and concern, which is way above human love and concern. It takes the Holy Spirit, which only God can give, to help you overcome self, Satan, and the ways of Satan, and the ways of this world, which is selfishness, lust, greed, vanity, pride, envy, jealousy, which amounts to being much more concerned for self than anyone else. Yes, much more concerned for self than obeying God or treating your neighbor as you want your neighbor to treat you. If Christ had been selfish, He would have never died for the world. He would have never paid the death penalty for a world full of sinners. We would have no hope. We would have no Savior. We would still be in our sins. In Luke 10, beginning verse 25, I want you to notice what Christ had to say here, what He had recorded for our learning. Luke 10, verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Him, saying, 'Teacher, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, at least this man wanted to know how to qualify to inherit eternal life. He knew there was something that he must do. Somehow or another, he knew that Christ hadn't done everything for him, and all he had to do was just believe that Christ came. As a matter of fact, the Jews didn't even believe that Christ had come. Christ said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? How do you understand the law when you read it?" So this man answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as self." Yes, Christ said, put God first and above all, and neighbor equal with you. And this lawyer understood that. And he said to him, Christ said, that's Christ speaking here, he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." So there is something that you have to do if you want to inherit eternal life. Not that you earn eternal life, that is a free gift. But God only gives eternal life to those that obey him. And these are commandments that God and Christ has commanded you and me to do, to keep, before he will give us eternal life. Now, had Adam and Eve done this in the beginning, that's the way this world would have continued. But we continue to live the way Adam and Eve set the course, and that course was disobeying God. And you know, my friends, if we had obeyed God instead of obeying Satan, that's all this world would know. We would only know that one way, and that is to obey God. But as it is, Adam and Eve obeyed Satan, and that's all this world knows. We have picked up on that, and that's what we know, and that's what we do. I will say, except for a few, that God has called out of Satan's world and out of his way that did obey God. There are many living in Christ today that are obeying God. God said the way of Satan that Adam and Eve began to live is the way that ends in death. Death of nations, of empires, the death of the world, the death of individuals. And history proves that, and what is happening today proves that as well. Yes, what you see on the scene today is proving that. But this man, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Well, we don't like to be responsible. We like to justify ourselves. We like to pass the buck. That sounds like human nature, wanting to justify self. Yes, self gets in our way. Yes, self separates us from God, from our spouse, our neighbors, relatives, employers, and employees. Using human reasoning, why I can do or should do this or that, or why I don't need or want to do this or that. Yes, we use human reasoning to get out of obeying God. Now, it doesn't work. God doesn't buy that alibi at all, but we use it. We try to justify ourselves for not obeying our Maker. Christ continues in the verses to follow to give us an example of who our neighbor is. Continuing here in Luke 10, verse 30, "Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Christ is describing in this parable that this good citizen fell into the hand of thieves, of hoodlums, deadbeats, that prey on good citizens. He is not describing a deadbeat, but a good citizen, a man that worked and earned his way, a taxpayer that had possessions which he had earned. He's not describing helping a man, giving man money and so on to go out and buy more drugs with or more booze with. He is describing a good citizen. In verse 31, "Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. The Jews, from which were the priests and the Levites, considered the Samaritans excommunicated or heretics. The two Jews had no compassion on this man, but the Samaritan did," we read in the following verses. This so-called religious priest didn't want to help this good citizen. He was above this good citizen. He was better, so he thought, than this good man was. It would make you wonder why. Well, perhaps he thought, there's nothing in it for me. No votes, no money. But one of the main things that caused him to do this is because The Jews thought they were the only people that God could work with or were working with, and that they were better than everyone else. Verse 32, likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Yes, the Levite, supposedly another religious man, felt the same way. Nothing in it for me. So the story is that if it won't help me, if there's no advantage in caring and concern for others, why should I spend my time and money to help others? Yes, why should I be as concerned for others as for myself? And especially if you think you're better than others, if you think you're the only one that's obeying God and no one else can or no one else will or no one else is, then you have a superior attitude, which is very sinful. Well, it just shows you that even this human love and concern which God gives at birth can be lost. And it seemed that these two Jews, the priest and the Levite, they had lost this human love and concern that God gave them at birth. It also shows that the love of God will not be developed in individuals automatically. Continuing here in Luke 10, verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now you were born with compassion. You were born with love. You were born with some mercy. But you can, and this world, it seems, does lose all of these traits. That was good traits in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This Samaritan had compassion, love, and concern. He had not lost his God-given human love. He didn't think, well, if there's nothing in it for me, why should I bother? He didn't think, I'm better than others. He knew God cares for all people. And he was trying to build the character and the mind of God Almighty, which God says that we should do. That's what happened to Cain. He calloused to the point that he even lost his love and concern for his brother Abel. He became completely selfish, lustful, greedy, vain, proud. Nothing or no one mattered but him, but self. That was the way of Cain. Jealousy possessed him. I want you to notice what the Bible says here in Jude 11. Speaking about the world today, the world that was at that time and the world today, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Jude is describing the mindset, attitude, and character of the world, and it certainly applies to the world today and to our nation. Listen to this verse as we make comments on it. He said, we have gone the way of Cain, which was completely selfish, caring for no one but self. Does that ring a bell? Then he said, we have run greedily in the errors of Balaam for profit. It's the bottom line, isn't it? Yes, it's the bottom line. I see my time is up. We'll pick this up in our next program, so keep listening. But in the meantime, we have a couple of booklets that you should request. They will help you to understand God's way and God's word and the purpose of life much more clearly than perhaps you do now. How to build godly character. That's something that you need to know and understand. That's something that you need to be trying to do, my friends, is to build godly character, because that is the purpose of life, is to become like God. And how to be an overcomer. You know, Christ said, he that overcomes will sit with him in his throne, will inherit eternal life. So there's something that you have to overcome, and you have to build godly character. And these two booklets will help you to understand that. Request those two booklets by calling us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill. Meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.